This is getting pretty scary, don't you think? You bet, but I hope you'll stick with me. You probably think they got me out of the tree and everything worked out just fine, but I must warn you that we're still a long way from that. Let me set the scene again. Through circumstances beyond my control, I had gotten myself stranded in a tree. But don't forget that I wasn't sitting on a nice, fat limb. That would have made everything easy. No, thanks to Sally Mae's scheming, treacherous little weasel of a cat, I had been lured away from the big limbs and had crawled my way out to the end of a shrimpy little limb, which was bending under my weight and swaying in the wind. Do you see the meaning of this? In the first place, I wasn't about to release my grip on that limb because it was unthinkable. Hey, I was no dummy. If I let go of that limb, I would fall to the ground and would be splattered all over the ranch. Okay, that's point one. Point two is that neither Slim nor Loper could reach me because the limb would break under their respective weights. So when we add up the evidence in this case, point one plus point two, we come up with point three. 1 + 2 = 3. How could they get me out of the tree if they couldn't reach me? That was the terrible dilemma that faced us, but you'll be relieved to know that Loper had come up with a pretty good plan of action, and here's the scoop on that. Captain Alfred returned with his mama, who carried baby Molly in one arm and a wool blanket in the other. Oh, and did I mention that Sally Mae didn't look real happy? She didn't. It appeared that she had been right in the middle of baking an angel food cake when Alfred had burst into the kitchen and called her out for emergency duty. She'd been forced to turn off the oven and leave the cake inside, and her first words to me were, "If my cake falls..." I held my breath, waiting for a long list of all the things she would do to me. But she didn't list them. Instead, she glared up at me and muttered, "Hank, you are so dumb." That hurt. It really hurt. I hardly knew how to respond. I mean, I had to admit that this whole thing had the markings of something that was, well, pretty dumb, to use her words. But she'd responded to the call, that was the important thing, and maybe we could work out the details at a later time. So there they were, gathered at the base of the tree, and Loper put his rescue plan into action. Sally Mae set Molly down in the grass. She opened up the blanket, and each of them gripped one of the four corners. All blankets have four corners. Did you know that? It's true. Then they positioned themselves and the blanket right below, well, below me, you might say, and Loper called out, "Okay, Hank, jump." Jump? Me jump? Was he crazy? Hey, for his information, I was 2,000 feet above the ground, and I had a double death grip on that limb, and I wasn't fixing to... Okay, Loper's plan suddenly became clear to me. They were holding the blanket in such a way that it formed a kind of safety net. You get it now? All I had to do was let go of the limb and fall into the net.
"Come on, Hank, jump, jump, we'll catch you."
Great plan. Great idea. It had just one small flaw. When push came to shovel, I found that... Oh boy, this is very embarrassing. How can I say this without creating the impression that... Let's just blunder into it and see where it leads. Dogs are afraid of heights, right? I mean, we've already discussed that, but maybe we should underscore and underline and emphasize that this is no ordinary fear. It's a terrible fear. It's so severe that it even has a scientific name. It's called fall-o-phobia. I saw their faces looking up at me. They were waiting. Loper yelled,
"Hank, for crying in the bucket, will you just let go?"
And Sally Mae muttered,
"I knew it. It was too easy. That dog..."
Okay, shall we skip down to the bottom line? The bottom line is that phallophobia is, slightly irrational. I mean, with the thinking part of my mind, I could see that this was a great plan and that it would work. If I would merely release my grip on the limb, I would fall into the blanket, and that would be the end of it. But there is another side of a dog's mind, this one quite a bit darker and, well, more mysterious, shall we say, and that's where all the phobias stay. And that part of my mind saw this deal in a very different way, and it was sending out a stream of data and messages such as, "Are you crazy? Do I look like a fool? Forget that, Charlie. Hey, this tree isn't going anywhere, and neither am I." So as you can see, we were on the road to getting ourselves into an awkward situation. I mean, I knew it was awkward. I knew what they wanted me to do, but I just couldn't bring myself to let go of the limb. But don't forget, I felt terrible about it. No kidding. Well, they dropped the blanket and began muttering and grumbling. Maybe they thought I couldn't hear them, but I did. Slim kicked a rock and said, "Well, if the doofus likes that tree so much, let's just leave him up there." That brought a lip quiver from little Alfred.
"No, he's my doggy and my friend, and I want to save him."
There was a long silence. Then Loper turned to Slim.
"I guess one of us will have to climb the tree."
Slim nodded.
"Yep, and I'm dying to hear who that might be."
"Well, you're young and strong, athletic."
"Uh-huh, keep going."
"And idle time has always been a problem for you."
"Uh-huh, keep going."
Loper smiled.
"And I'm the boss."
"I figured it'd come down to that."
Slim hitched up his jeans and gave Loper a sour look.
"When I hired on to this outfit, somebody said it would be a cowboy job. Here I am climbing dadgum trees to save a dog that ain't worth 8 eggs.
He started up the tree. I think he could have climbed the tree without making all those grunting noises and without mumbling all those threats. I mean, what was the big deal about climbing a tree to save a loyal friend in distress? But the way he grumbled and grunted, you'd have thought he was climbing up the Vampire State Building. But don't forget that I felt terrible about this. I did. I mean, when I had signed on with Alfred's pirate crew, I'd never dreamed... Oh, well. Slim grunted his way up to the platform. There he stopped to pull some splinters out of his arms. Was it my fault that he'd gotten splinters? No, but guess who got blamed for it? And he just happened to look up at the sky and noticed, my goodness, it appeared that storm clouds were gathering, big dark thunderheads that rolled way up into the sky. Loper saw them too.
"Slim, I know that hurrying goes against your nature, but I don't think you want to be in that tree if lightning starts popping."
Slim nodded, then glared at... Why was he glaring at me? Had I ordered a storm? Did he think I wanted to be...
"Pooch, if I get killed by lightning, I'm gonna come back as a flea and set up a drilling rig right on your..."
That very moment, his boots slipped, and he came within an inch of falling out of the tree. I won't say that it served him right. I'll say only that it forced him to concentrate on his business and to stop muttering threats at me. He grabbed the limb. Down on the ground, Loper yelled,
"Shake the limb! If you can shake him loose, we'll catch him in the blanket."
Thunder rumbled in the cloud.
"And hurry, first chance you get."
Slim planted his feet and started shaking the limb. The limb shook and trembled. Out on the end, I felt myself being thrashed and tossed around. My teeth rattled inside my mouth. My eyeballs were rolling around in their sprockets. And yikes! My paws were slipping. I was losing the grip of my grasp. I turned my eyes to the ground and saw... There, 3,000 feet below, was the blanket. Only now it seemed as small as a postage stamp.
Hank, you bird brain, let go.
Let go? Was he crazy? Maybe if he'd kept shaking the limb, things might have worked themselves out. Maybe he would have shaken me loose. Or maybe I would have conquered my terrible phallophobia. But just then,